Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Right before showtime here, Suzanne in L.A. sent me an email that since Saturday afternoon, nearly 7,000 people have signed the petition at draftgore.com. Suzanne writes, it had been slogging along up till a couple of weeks ago, but now nearly 46,000 people have joined. If you haven't gone there and signed it, do it. What the hell? I mean, can you think of anyone more qualified now than Al Gore? DraftGore.com. This bulletin just in, Ted Haggard is still. A suicide bomber in Afghanistan tried to blow Cheney to bits today, and you know what? Nobody much seems to care. Did you notice that? The main news story leading the national news tonight was the stock market thump. And I think the Cheney assassination attempt was, I don't know, down there around the the medical news. It just didn't get anybody excited. I know his approval ratings rank somewhere between child molester and army dentist, but, you know, this is kind of ridiculous. I wonder if Lynn Cheney put down her trashy novel when she heard the news.
He what? Well, Hillary Clinton has to have something to do with it.
Not even the White House spokesgeek Tony Snow seemed to care that the number two guy in this crime family was nearly murdered today. Foxy could barely keep his eyes open when peppered with questions about it. We have some clips of that, by the way, to share with you. It was it's very entertaining. Where do you hear this? Where do you hear this? I think we finally figured out here at the Malloy Program compound why Tony Snow got the press secretary job. If you'll notice one thing about the Bush crime family over the past 6 years, the spokesgeeks just keep getting deliberately stupider and stupider. They start with Ari Fleischer. Way too smart. Ari Fleischer, oh, please. You know, that guy graduated from college. Way too smart. Talk too much. So they replaced him with a simple Scotty McClellan. Remember that doofus? He was a guy that, you know, he'd hold ice cream cone in his hand and try to hit his mouth and hit his forehead. Real dumbass. But even he was too forthcoming with the information. So they looked around and they found the guy with the lowest IQ they could get away with, short of, you know, someone like Dan Quayle. And where do they look? Of course, Fox News Channel. And they come up with Tony Snow. So there he is. Right? That's got to be the case. This guy, every answer he has now is Department of Defense. Greenpeace advocates the construction of nuclear reactors. Oh yeah. Oh, okay, Tony. Yeah, right. Yeah, they sure do. Jesus. And not only is he incredibly dense, he's also obviously kept in the dark about, you know, what's really going on in the crime family rat's nest. So he has no choice but to keep referring most of the questions to the DOD. War in Iraq? DOD territory. Cheney assassination attempt? DOD is on it. President's budget? Ask the DOD. What'd you have for lunch today, Tony? The DOD has that information. The Bush crime family just doesn't tell him anything. And there's a reason for that. So that when the subpoenas come this time, he doesn't have to cut a deal like Ari Fleischer did. He can truthfully say, I had no idea, but have you checked with the DOD? And get away with it. You see, Karl Rove, even though he has become the invisible man, Karl Rove is not going to make the Ari Fleischer mistake again. Count on it, Truth Seeker. How about that meltdown today, or sell-off, or whatever? You know, it's all fantasy anyway. But, I was watching this. I tuned in this afternoon, for some reason, I guess around 1:30, 2 o'clock, to, you know, check on the latest bombing reports from Iraq. And Dow was down 250 points. Okay. Within an hour, it was down 500. You know, I'm sitting there going, yeah, keep going, mofo! Keep going! But it turned around, so to speak, a little bit. But the super wealthy got a tiny little scare today. Or if not that, they got bored and decided to make the merely wealthy nervous. Started selling stuff. You know, when you're in that top 1% of everything in this country, and the top 1% starts breathing down your neck, here we come, here we come, got my bonus check today, it was $14 million. You know, the super wealthy go, oh, Jesus Christ, let's back these people off a little bit. So they do what they did today. You know, it's fun. Doesn't cost them anything. Because while they're selling over here, they're buying over there. You know, so it's just a game. The 400-point drop in the Dow Jones is one way, you know, to while away the hours on a gray winter's day. But the whole money mystery, have you noticed this is like religion? This whole money trip, especially in the United States, it makes no sense. It's all about myths and spirits and received wisdom and prayer and curses. There's no truth, none, in the money system in this country. Oh, come on. What's it backed by in the first place? Nothing. What's any money backed by? Nothing. Now, regarding the money system, see, nothing can be proven. The whole thing, the accounting procedures, we discovered 3 or 4 years ago that all the accounting procedures are lies. It's all deception. Everything here is beyond science. It's a carefully constructed mythology, the money system, capitalism, whatever you want to call it, a carefully constructed mythology that even includes a priesthood. Are you aware of that? Chairman of the Fed? That's the American Pope. Hedge fund salespeople and stockbrokers? Those are the priests. The investors? They're the older boys and young parishioners that get molested. It's all built on faith and fantasy, trading little pieces of paper and making weird markings in electronic ledger books, right? Using the accumulation of those little pieces of paper or their electronic counterparts, even more ethereal and non-existent, to determine who's winning, who's losing, who gets the fresh liver when one comes available, and who dies of liver failure. You know, dittos for hearts, kidneys, and lungs, stuff like that, on and on. It's a phantasmagoria of buying and selling, phony success, just what's the word I'm looking for? Help me here, Kathy. Undefinable failure. It's also bizarre. Little clicks and ticks and noodlings on pieces of paper. Have you ever watched the Chicago Board of Trade? When we lived in Chicago, we used to watch him. Oh, my God. Or the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Screaming maniacs! What are they talking about? 6:34, buy, sell, trade, bop, boop, bop, bop, do, bam, bam. And when I get my page, when I get paid from Nova M, I never see a dime. You know what happens? They send some kind of a electronic pulse from their accounting firm, which is somewhere, I don't even know where it is, to my credit union. I know where my credit union is, but it's kind of a beep boop. And then I go online and I open up and say, oh, wow, another $75,000. Just kidding. But then when I want to spend the little bit of money that I get from Nova M, I want to spend it. I want to pay a bill or pay the mortgage. What do? I don't never touch money. I never touch money. I write stuff on pieces of paper. Or Kathy does. I don't do it. It's maddening to me. She writes stuff on a piece of paper, puts it in an envelope, and sends it off. Somewhere. I have no idea. And when that place gets those pieces of paper, they get online, I guess, and go beep boop. and little deductions are made from my electronic thingy. And it's just like madness. So what happened today? It's a joke, a hoax, a myth, a game. It's a religion. Do you understand that?
And the goals for this country are a compassionate American for every single citizen.
Oh, I want mine. I want my compassionate American for every single citizen. There was no compassion today when this killer, John Negroponte, was sworn in by the president, the fake president. You know about Negroponte, don't you? WSWS.org website had a pretty definitive article on this sucker 5 years ago. Negroponte, of course, has spent his entire working life in the service of American crimes overseas. Bloody crimes, mass killings, all sorts of things. He's participated in some of the bloodiest crimes of the post-World War II era, including 9 years as a State Department official during the Vietnam War, 5 years in Central America. Can you think of two bloodier foreign policy engagements for this country? No, I can't either. As WSWS pointed out, much of his career itinerary reads like a dossier for some future war crimes tribunal. 64 to 68, he was political affairs officer at the U.S. Embassy in Saigon. Political affairs officer. That's the guy who makes damn sure that whatever policy is carried out is carried out politically, in a politically correct manner. 69 to 71, he was aide to Henry Kissinger at the Paris negotiations with the Vietnamese. They argued long enough over the size of the table so that another 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 Americans died. Unbelievable. 71 to 73, officer in charge for Vietnam in the National Security Council, again under Kissinger. 73 to 75, assigned to the U.S. Embassy in Ecuador. 80 to 81, Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for East Asia and Pacific Affairs. 81 to 85, Ambassador to Honduras. 87 to 89, Deputy Assistant to the President for National Security Affairs, reporting to Colin Powell. 89 to 93, Ambassador to Mexico. 93 to 97, Ambassador to the Philippines. And you know, since then, he was Ambassador to, he was also Ambassador to the United Nations. He was also Ambassador to Iraq right before the death squads got up and running. Negroponte's role is best documented for his term as ambassador to Honduras. Now, that's was, and to some degree still is, a country dominated by U.S. corporations and completely dependent on the U.S. government, politically and militarily, especially during the 80s. The U.S. ambassador in Tegucigalpa, that was Negroponte, is the de facto proconsul who makes or breaks presidents and generals. And at Negroponte's direction, the Honduran military provided protection and assistance to the contra-terrorists. With his tacit permission, if not active encouragement, the Honduran military carried out systematic murders of refugees from war-torn El Salvador and among its domestic opponents in Honduras itself. U.S. military aid to Honduras, while Negroponte was there, went from 4 million to 77 million. He worked closely with this Central American Nazi, General Gustavo Alvarez Martinez, chief of the armed forces in Honduras, And one of the missions was to send Honduran soldiers to the School of the Americas down here at Fort Benning, where they were trained in psychological warfare, sabotage, human rights violations, torture, kidnapping, and murder. And in 1983, the Reagan administration awarded the Legion of Merit to General Alvarez. It was the American CIA, while Negroponte was there, that created the infamous Battalion 316 to carry out the murder of Honduran political opponents of the Contra War against Nicaragua. It goes on and on. General Luis Alonso Discoa Elvira, a graduate of the School of the Americas, was the founder and commander of Battalion 316. And according to a detailed investigation in 1995 by the Baltimore Sun, Battalion 316 kidnapped, tortured, killed hundreds of Hondurans. The unit, Battalion 316, used shock, suffocation, murder. Prisoners were kept naked and when no longer useful, killed and buried in unmarked graves. It just goes on and on and on. That's who Negroponte is. That's who Negroponte is. This guy is a bloody son of a bitch who has the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people around his neck. That's why whenever you see him, he looks like a ghoul. He has the look of a ghoul because he knows what he is. Now, it may not disturb him morally or ethically, but he knows he is a human destroyer, a ghoul. And today, Condoleezza Rice and George Bush praised him. And, of course, his confirmation was effected by the United States Senate. What was the vote? 1-0? I have no idea. But this is why they hate us.
The next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
All right, 26 before the hour, just got an email. Rum Runner from Oklahoma. Oklahoma's out there listening. I feel better now. All right, there he was today, Negroponte being sworn in to his latest, God only knows what he's going to do. I love the fact that the rumors that we reported on last night within the political circles is that what the Department of Defense is planning for Iraq and Iran is even beyond the ability of Negroponte to stomach it. Oh, Christ. The only way that would be maybe is if they were loading corpses into howitzers, setting them on fire and blowing them into neighborhoods to freak people out. That's about the only thing I can think that would stop Negroponte. Well, okay, I didn't. Okay, that wouldn't stop him. If they were flaming baby corpses. But no, that wouldn't stop him either. Man. So, today, Condoleezza Valdez, before she skittered off to Congress to testify before the Senate Budget Committee, the shoe lady called John Negroponte a legend of American diplomacy. Yeah! So is Jesse James, a legend of the West. This is at his swearing-in ceremony today, where he is returning to the State Department as the number two man. If I were Condoleezza Valdez, I would watch my back and my skull and my hips and my ankles and watch out for those real thin wires that they come up with behind you and wrap them around your neck and squeeze. Here's the shoe lady.
Mr. President, in John Negroponte, you could not have chosen a more capable, more dedicated or more experienced public servant.
Oh, God.
John's tenure in the Foreign Service began during the Eisenhower administration. Oh. He has served every president since, and now this legend of American diplomacy returns home. He will be a great leader and an inspiration to the men and women of American diplomacy. And I know that they will be an inspiration for him.
Or he'll kill them.
As they are for me and for all of us. Thank you, Mr. President, for your steadfast support of the department, for your steadfast support of the men and women of American diplomacy, and thank you for bringing John back to state.
Yeah, he started in the Eisenhower administration. Now, for those of you under the age of 60, Eisenhower was a president we had a long time ago. Let me tell you something. Negroponte has been in government since Charlemagne. He is a vampire, like Cheney and Chertoff and Poindexter and Rumsferatu. These evil toads have been around for hundreds of years. And poor Condoleezza.
Thank you, Mr. President. A more dedicated or more experienced public servant couldn't be found. Unless you go back 3 or 4 centuries, and you could with him.
So Dim Sun standing there with his eyes glazing over, rocking back and forth on. Did you see it? Kind of rocking on his feet, wondering what room he's in. Why has he been asked to say something? Where's his little notes? Oh, here they are. So Dim Sun completely ignores Negroponte's more colorful Iran-Contra moments while honoring his long service to various American presidents. You could almost, if you were insane, feel a little sorry for Bush. So many of his attempts at pithy comments just fall flat. And whenever Raisin Brain tries to be glib, he ends up sounding stupid. You know, he just wants to get back in that electric race car. I saw it! It was so cool, man! Room, 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 room!
John is uniquely qualified. Over the course of more than 4 decades, he's held 8 foreign service posts. 3 different continents.
3 different continents?
He served as the Deputy National Security Advisor to President Ronald Reagan.
Oh, yeah.
He represented America at the United Nations.
When? When?
During my administration.
Oh, you got one right.
He was our first ambassador to a free Iraq.
A free what?
One of my regrets is that in him coming back to the State Department is he won't be in the Oval Office every morning to share his wisdom with me.
And a cup of blood.
He has plenty of wisdom to share.
Oh, he does.
As he moves over to the State Department, he knows this building really well. As Condi mentioned, he became a foreign service officer in the administration of Ike.
Ike?
Like some of you weren't even born then.
Really? Hot damn. Some of you weren't even born then. I wasn't. Or was I? Wait a minute. I don't know. Jesus Christ. it's astounding. If it weren't for the fact that so many people... How could they have missed Cheney? I don't get that. Son of a bitch. You know, if you buy the official story, the people who came to this country defeated our entire national security system, defeated our airline security system, got on board 4 planes, used box cutters, and wound up murdering over 3,000 people all in like, what, how long? 1 hour? And they screw up in their own country? How did they miss him? They must have had somebody who never made it through suicide bombing 101. What did this freak do? He blows himself up 3 miles from Cheney, and then this half-witted Talibanish Al-Qaeda stands there and says, Dick Cheney was our target. It's almost like they weren't even in the same county with him. Oh, never mind. I don't know how they can continue to call these moron sessions with Tony Snow briefings. As reported in the Houston Chronicle yesterday, no one takes this freak seriously anymore. And comments like, Greenpeace has always been for nukes, aside, he's clearly intentionally uninformed. And like I said, we finally figured it out. They keep deliberately dumbing down the press secretary so they'll have plausible deniability. Tony Snow isn't hedging when he keeps saying, I don't know. He really doesn't know. He's both stupid and purposely kept in the dark, just like everybody at Fox News Channel. No, Karl Rove's not going to make the Ari Fleischer mistake again. Oh, no. So again today, Tony was completely useless in the matter of the attempted murder of Cheney in Afghanistan today. What a rube. The first reporter asked, how was the suicide bomber able to get within range of the base where Vice President Cheney was?
I don't know. I referred to DOD. I think at this point people are still investigating what happened. So we don't have a firm answer for you.
Is there some concern about the security precautions?
Again, rather than making presumptions about the proximity of the vice president.
Big word there.
It is a large facility. I really think it's probably, again, better to let people do the forensics on it, figure out what's going on. They can render judgments later. I've got no comment on it right now.
Oh, I got no comment. I don't know. You got anything important to ask me? See, the only thing Tony Snow might know is the whole thing was a put-up job. They just decided to murder 18 people in the course of pretending like Dick Cheney was some attempt was made on his life. You know, they took one of their prisoners from Bagram Air Base torture rack and said, okay, we have a way out of the torture for you. We want you to go see Allah. Now strap this stuff to your body, stand outside the base, and pull this cord. You know, the poor schmuck probably did it. So then 18 people get wiped out. So then Tony Snow can stand there and say, I don't know. You know why Tony refers all questions to the DOD? It's because he literally has no answers. Not even about Cheney, whom presumably is under the preview of the White House and not the Defense Department. And Tony Snow is the White House spokesman. Cheney, White House, Bush, White House, right? So another reporter takes a shot at Cheney, in a manner of speaking. Question, has the president talked to the vice president yet?
I don't think so. Had a busy morning.
Let me try one other. Do you think that the publicity about the vice president staying overnight at the base prompted the attack,
I don't know. I mean, the fact is the vice president was committed to having a visit with President Karzai, and he was, they had a delay due to weather.
What does this attack say about the strength of the Taliban in Afghanistan?
I'm not sure it says anything.
Yeah. What does this attack say about the strength of the Taliban in Afghanistan? I'm not sure it says anything. I don't know. Ho-hum. Another day at the office. Passive Valium. Someone tried to kill Cheney today, in the process killed about 20 other people and wounded another 20, and Tony Snow sounds as if he's discussing what he'd like for lunch. I don't know. Should I have the tuna? Maybe ham? Am I Jewish? I'm not sure. I just can't decide. Can I eat ham? Somebody check with the DOD. Snow. Is that a Jewish name? What a dumbass. And we've got a couple more here. Actually two more that you have to hear. Well, you don't have to hear. You can, switch stations, I guess. But if you want to hear the madness that is endemic in this administration, I know you can hear it all the time. I mean, who else, what other administration would send a killer like Cheney and a coward to boot like Cheney, over to a military dictator's backyard, that'd be Pervez, don't you love his first name, Musharraf, and say to Opervy, kill some more people. You're not doing a good job. We want you to kill some more people. You know, I mean, you talk about cojones, right? I don't know. I don't know. We'll be back after the break. Don't discuss things. Shout the last word. Put your grist out the pasture. Drop your IQ. That's what I do. My advice to girls and guys who want to be a Nobel Prize finalist. Rocket scientists. Try applying this. Keep the customers coming around. If you're smart, then you better start dumbing it down. Don't say anything too profound. Dumb it down.
History. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took.
It's okay, Republicans. The pain will be over soon. Take a deep breath. Find your happy place. It's more of Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour.
Don't know much about geography.
Yet another reporter tries to get the utterly bored Tony Snow interested in the assassination attempt against the pretend vice president. This reporter asked, Tony, Is it believed that this was an Al-Qaeda attack?
Tony, no matter who was responsible for
not
this.
That. Well, we got the first part of that? Okay, well, let's move down. The reporter says, is it believed that this was an Al-Qaeda attack? Tony Snow answers, it's too early to tell. Apparently the Taliban has taken some credit, but I think you just have to let investigators sift through it and find out what they can.
Tony, no matter who was responsible for this, excuse me, to what extent does it underscore the very reason that the vice president was sent there to begin with?
I'm not sure. Again, it's I don't think, Peter, I don't know. It's an interesting, the vice president was there to consult with allies in the war on terror. Now, to the extent that there are elements within the war on terror that depend on isolated acts of violence that are designed to kill indiscriminately, and I don't know exactly how you, I don't even know a good metric for figuring out precisely how that fits into the equation.
A good metric? What the hell is a good metric? My God, why not just ask him what his favorite football team is, or if he thought Clint Eastwood should have won an Oscar, something that he's got some knowledge about and is actually allowed to answer, and something that might interest him long enough to keep him just slightly awake? Hey, Tony! Now, according to Cheryl in Albuquerque, she says, hey, Mike, just thought you'd like to hear what Britt Hume of Fox News said tonight about the troubles on the stock exchange. He blamed the crash on the assassination attempt on Dick Cheney. He said traders were nervous about safety of the vice president. Swear to God. Cheryl, Albuquerque. Well, yeah, well, that figures. I mean, Britt Hume is like Tony Snow. Is like Sean Hannity, is like Alan Combs, is like Bill O'Reilly, is like everybody on that network. They're asswipes. They're jerks. Can I say that? I think I can. It's a tissue. That's all it is. All right. Let's. Is this the last one? No, we have two more. Almost done with Prince Valium on this topic. The reporter's about to give up. This reporter says, Tony, this morning the president at the State Department had, again, strong message against terror for the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, speaking on the global war on terrorism during the swearing-in ceremony for, the mass killer Negroponte. You think, as far as this bombing is concerned, because vice president had a strong message in the area against the Taliban, you think that maybe that prompted...
Again, everybody, look, let's find out what happened. I can have all sorts of theories about what happened. But I don't have any facts for you, and I'd rather not theorize, especially in the absence of good, hard, investigative facts.
Yeah.
Was there any suggestion in advance of this bombing among intelligence officials that something was going to happen? In other words, did we pick up anything about it beforehand?
I don't know, and even if I did, it wouldn't be appropriate to share any kind of intelligence conclusions.
Yeah, and if y'all hear anything, will you let me know? I don't know. Hell, maybe it was some of Negroponte's covert wet work that got all mixed up, or maybe kind of a welcome basket from Condoleezza. You know, who knows? I don't know. Why are you asking me? Check with DOD! Leave me alone! And finally, we'll conclude the love fest with this exchange between Tony and a reporter named April, who tried to wake him up by asking, Tony, on this investigation... what is the expectation of facts? You know, getting the facts. And this administration has been having a lot of problems getting information in fighting the extremists and terrorists.
Well, you're really talking what amounts to a police investigation of a crime incident. I don't think that's... I mean, what you're doing, April, I think, is comparing apples and oranges with intelligence estimates and a crime scene investigation.
The thought is terrorists.
Well, it's pretty clear it was a terrorist.
Right, but to actually pinpoint who, why, and how, do you really think that you will be getting this?
I don't know. I don't know. We'll just have to find out what people can discover.
Gee, funny thing, I thought that was your job, you half-witted jerk. You Fox News Channel dumbass. Tony Snow says, you're really talking about what amounts to a police investigation of a crime incident. Let me see. That would be maybe what happened at the Trade Towers in 2001, September 11th. No, never mind. That was an act of war, right? So what is he suggesting here? Call in CSI Kabbalah? Yeah, this is a crime scene, April. You know, what the hell's wrong with you? And how do you girls keep getting in here? This is a boys' room. Hello? And then he says, well, it's pretty clear it was a terrorist. Well, you never know. It's Cheney. Might have been one of his family members. My God. They're just incredible. What a day. What a day for Cheney to almost be iced. The same day the stock market loses 500, comes back up to 400. Nobody gives a damn about Cheney. But the stock market game, hell yes. I mean, live coverage. I went to CNBC today just to see how the crazies were running up the walls and across the ceiling. It was wonderful. It was like watching your local weatherman when a hurricane is coming. You know, they're just peeing all over themselves. They don't know whether to suck my thumb or go blind here. There's a hurricane coming. Ah! The Dow is down 500 points. Ah! What a joke! What a game! What an exercise in asininity! What a diversion! What a way to put the assassination attempt on Nosferatu II on the back burner, huh? Dick Cheney wandering around where Dick Cheney shouldn't be, and that's anywhere out of Bethesda. All kinds of people out there. Right, Cheney? Just waiting to, even though this one tried to blow you up from 3 miles away. That's an assassination attempt? I don't think so. Welcome back, 6:30 past the hour. Now, our good friend James Risser, writing in his diary over at Daily Kos, wrote the following, and I want to share it with you. The day Dick Cheney soiled his trousers. James writes, the sweet smell of death and destruction came, oh, so close to the dark spirit of hell. Dick, what is that in your pants? But really, let's see if we can all sort of agree on a few points here. First, the Taliban is not likely to have spoken to anyone. Unlike other groups, this one could not care less about the media and does not do suicide bombings. So this diarist is highly skeptical about the veracity of the official story being vomited onto the public over this one. But sitting here so far away from Afghanistan, on my knees, praying for the health and the continued leadership of this fine man, this leader, this patriot, I write a letter to our leader. Dear Vice President Cheney, it comes with great comfort and relief knowing that such a great American is safe tonight, away from harm's way. When I first heard of this near tragedy, my eyes moistened and I felt such a jarring in my insides. I thought I was the one hit with an IED. Vice President Cheney, I and my fellow Americans felt your pain today. Imagine a true patriot and Vietnam War hero such as yourself who selflessly gives of himself to make sure that America remains great and safe from the terrorists who want to kill us all, attack all of our women, and ruin our way of life. Imagine a hero of democracy, a former senator from the great state of Wyoming, Secretary of Defense, a fine business leader for such earth-friendly corporations, and now the Vice President of the United, of these great United States coming so close to death. I shudder to think what America would be like without your career in politics. I shudder, the world shudders, to imagine a world without your perception and your guidance. The wonderful work you did in leading American forces in the first Gulf War, and your kind, assuring words that led us into this global war of terrorism. May God thank you for being such a fine example to all of us on what a leader truly is. God willing, you will live to be at least 65 years old and enjoy your family and enjoy leading us into the darkness with your bright light of wisdom and your keen sense of what it means to be human, your love of the poor, and all the work you do in building homes for them in New Orleans. You are a saint among men. I remain respectfully yours. Insert your name here. Please feel free to cut and paste this epistle of love and adoration and send it to Mr. Cheney and his two daughters serving in Iraq. Or does one say what one really means? No, that probably isn't a great idea, though. I do hear the cells in Guantanamo are most comfortable, but alas, orange makes me look too heavy. Anyway, what really happened? Who did it? Why? Was it a coincidence? Did Karzai have a bad cup of tea yesterday and decided for himself that the puppet strings were oh so tight? Did Zalmay Khalilzad call in a marker with some of his old friends in Afghanistan so that he could maybe go higher in the crime family? I say no to the Taliban fiction and suggest that it may be either an Al-Qaeda operation, an inside job, or merely a wonderful coincidence of war. Now, if you want that letter, go to Daily Kos and find James Risser, R-I-S-S-E-R's diary, and you can cut and paste and send a copy on to the office of the vice president. These childlike three-year-old style tantrums of Republicans are funny, except these half-wits are supposed to be in positions of leadership. I'm talking about the Senate, the senators and the representatives. There's all kinds of snarky little crap going around about Al Gore's electric bill, which amounted to somewhere between $14,000 and $18,000 last year. Right? Al Gore, $14,000 to $18,000 last year. Ron in Briarwood, New York, sent me an article from July 26, 2001 from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. And it says, an innocuous attempt by Representative Jay Inslee to block the Navy from paying the full electric bill at Vice President Dick Cheney's official residence ignited a searing debate yesterday on the House floor. The amendment, of course, was defeated, 285 to 141. In dollar terms, Democrat Inslee's amendment was inconsequential, affecting $186,000 out of a spending bill totaling $33 billion. Republicans complained bitterly that Inslee's amendment was designed solely to embarrass Cheney. House Majority Leader Dick Armey rushed to the floor to call it demeaning. The amendment, he said, smells like chicken manure. Representative Ray LaHood, Republican of Illinois, said this amendment ought to be known as the cheap shot amendment. His voice rising, he added, this amendment is being offered to embarrass the vice president. You don't have any other way to embarrass him, so you trot out this stupid amendment. Cheney's spokeswoman, Juliana Glover-Weiss, echoed House Republicans calling it a, quote, gratuitous partisan broadside, end quote. Democrats say shifting responsibility for Cheney's electric bill from the vice president's operating budget to the Navy would insulate him from the realities faced by regular people who are coping with sharply higher electricity costs these days. For the next fiscal year, for Cheney's electric bill, the administration earmarked $186,000. As vice president, of course, all of Cheney's living expenses, including his electric bill, are covered by taxpayers. The question was which government agency would have to pay. Yeah, when you put things in context, you know, oh, I know Al Gore is not the vice president now. He's the president. But he's in exile. So all this, these just incredibly tantrumy three-year-old Republicans from the pig man himself, the vile, smelly pig man Rush Limbaugh, all the way through the usual line of jackasses, starting with the pig man's butt boy, Sean Hannity, and all the way down that glorious train. It's amazing to watch them wallow and squeal and jump and twitter and twitch about Al Gore's electric bill because, after all, Al Gore is talking about global climate change, the heating of the planet, global heating. And for Christ's sake, don't call it global warming. Please don't call it global warming. That sounds like spring. Call it global heating. That sounds like hell. It's not global warming. But truly, I mean, I would rather spend 3 or 4 hours locked in a room while Molly throws a tantrum, my 2.5-year-old, then listen to these swift boat style half-wits that infest and pollute and degrade America's airwaves talk about Al Gore's $14,000 electric bill. Dick Cheney's 15 times as much. God. This is from Ron. The subject line is Lead Toy Soldiers. Mike, I recently started listening to your show on AM 1090 Seattle. I'm in the military, and your story of the lead toy soldiers brought tears to my eyes. The last time I really cried for people was during the Bosnian campaign, or should I say slaughter of both sides of the conflict. The same is going on in Iraq today. You made me think back to my youth in the late 60s with my G.I. Joes and my numerous plastic army men. I'm retiring this week, and it has been a rocky road the past few years. I have been verbally attacked, ridiculed in front of others, and even threatened along with physical attacks or assaults due to my position on the Bush crime family. Many of these people who attacked me are waking up from their sheeple coma, and some have apologized to me. I cried mainly because I was not man enough to stand up more, knowing morally that everything done after 9/11 was deceptive. I was a coward thinking of my own retirement and future. That is why we do not have enough Lieutenant Wataras. And I know you realize that only after retirement does anyone at the top start speaking out. So, I apologize to you and the people of the United States for being a coward by not upholding my oath of defending the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Mike, please forgive me. God bless you, Ron. You don't have to ask for any forgiveness from anybody, Ron.
Well, the bombs you've dropped, the guns you shot, all in the name of peace. While the people beg for mercy, you gave them no relief. There's blood on your hands, mister, you'll answer for one day. And the tears you shed on that day won't wash your sins away.
Reality Radio for a Rational World. The Mike Malloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
Twenty-one past the hour. So, according to the Associated Press, Canada's lower house of parliament has ended the terrorism measures that they... This is from tomorrow's paper. The Canadian Parliament voted Tuesday to end two anti-terror measures adopted in the wake of the September 11 terror attacks, one that allowed for preventive arrests and another that permitted forced testimony. The ruling Conservative government wanted to extend the provisions in the country's anti-terrorism legislation, but Prime Minister Stephen Harper's motion was defeated in the House of Commons. Yeah, this Stephen Harper apparently is just a little right-wing rat, just like John Howard in the Australia. They're not in Bush's league. They're a different league. The two measures are part of the previous Liberal government's response to the terrorist attacks on New York and Washington. They empowered authorities to arrest and detain suspects for 3 days without charge and to compel individuals with knowledge of terrorist activity to testify before a judge. Neither piece of legislation has ever been applied. Woo, authorities could arrest and detain suspects for 3 days without charge. Woo, George Bush can arrest and detain people for eternity without charge. Human rights activists hailed the ruling as a victory for those who believe fundamental rights have been curtailed in the name of national security since the September 11th attacks, blah, 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 and the article goes on. Are the Canadians braver than we are? Are they more civilized? Apparently, yes and yes. And they look like us, eh? Don't they? I mean, they're mostly white. Rescinded the anti-terrorism measures that they fully understood were the type of measures that a free people will tolerate only so long before it's time to end them. And the Bush bastard and his corrupt, filthy, stinking, smelly government, they want more power and more power and more power and more power. And, of course, they're getting it. More power and more power. Do away with this provision in the Constitution. Do away with that provision in the law. Do away with this branch of government. Do away with that oversight. Do away with everything except a unitary form of government that smells like Hitler and operates like Stalin. Jesus. Well, congratulations, Canada. Thanks to Reggie at TV News Lives for sending that to me. Let's do some phone calls here. Barbara is calling from Cave Creek, Arizona. Hey, Barbara.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I wanted to mention to you that on CNN International, the reason why the stock market went down is because the Chinese started divesting their money from our economy.
Usually when something like this happens in our stock market is because something happened overnight in somebody else's.
Well, it happened globally because they started to divest, I think, 9%. I was listening to Randy, but I assumed because Bush is making so much noise about going into Iran, and Iran just made a huge oil deal with China, and China wants to have good oil prices because they're trying to build their economy,
right,
as opposed to our president who's trying to destroy our economy.
Yes.
And they don't want, you know, they'll start pulling out the money because that will disrupt the oil prices. So they are divesting, you know, potentially destroying the dollar.
Now,
into a third world country.
Right. Compare that, what you just shared with us, compare that to what Tony Snow said today on Fox News Channel, that the stock market had the sell-off today because of the attempted whatever the hell it was on Dick Cheney.
Oh, I think they set up that. I think Dick Cheney threw the bomb. I mean, if... You know,
you're probably right.
Come on.
You know, how do you call something a suicide, a bombing attempt on Cheney's life when the guy didn't get within 3 miles of him?
Right. I mean, it was just a show. It was like, look, see what they're doing?
Oh,
see how bad they are?
Oh, I hate these people.
I hate them. I mean, they're twisted. They're just a bunch of Nazis. It's a generation of generation of generation following the grandfather and the grandfathers of...
I know. It's what Philip Wiley said in a book. He had a great book that was written back, I think, around 1942 or 43. I read it when I was a teenager, and it was called Generation of Vipers, which is a quote out of the Bible. But that's what these people remind me of, a generation of vipers.
Oh, well, it's many generations of vipers.
I hear you. Hey, Barbara, thanks for checking in.
Thank you, honey.
All right, bye-bye. We'll be back after the break, Truth Seekers. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
This is Laura Pigglesbush. When Georgie falls asleep, I creep into the Oval Office, sneak a ciggy, and turn on Mike Malloy. Then I reprogram Georgie's speed dial. The simple pleasures.
About 26 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Virginia is calling from Alameda, California. Hey, Virginia. Hey, Virginia.
Hello, where you at?
Get me off your speakerphone. I'm going to put you on hold. We'll come back to you later. You folks can't do that. Don't have me on your speakerphone, okay? Joe is calling from Miami. Hey, Joe.
Mike, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Oh, pretty good, buddy. You know, the more I watch this Iran situation, I'm getting more and more worried that if this clown starts something in Iran, we may lose an aircraft carrier. You know, people don't realize that the Straits of Hormuz are very narrow.
That's right.
Carriers can't turn by landing or taking off airplanes. Iranians are not stupid. See, they've got some good Chinese missiles they were sold.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is not going to be some PT boat coming out. There's going to be missiles launched at them. Another thing I'm watching, I'm getting very concerned that the U.S., I don't worry about Al-Qaeda. I don't worry about Hezbollah. I worry about Russia, China, India, Pakistan, and France saying, hey, we've had enough of this place.
Mm-hmm.
And they nuke us.
That can't happen.
No, I can tell you, other countries are looking at this place like we're a Nazi empire now. I mean, seriously, at high levels of government, we're not liked. And the Chinese and the Russians are not going to be playing games with us much longer. Their military power is pretty good.
Well, I know the rest of the world is getting sick of us, but to nuke us is really, I understand your concern, Joe, but that's insanity, because anybody who uses nukes to the degree necessary to end a nation is also going to end their own nation as a result of response, and even without the response from the nuclear fallout. Now, the Chinese, the Russians, the French, the Pakistanis, the Indians, they may be getting to the point where they hate the United States, but they're not going to commit suicide in order to work on their hate. Only a group like the Bush crime family would commit suicide in order to work on their hate.
What I'm worried about, too, is like I said, it may get to a point where they think they're going to be attacked. You know, this guy is really crazy. I mean, he's absolutely nuts in the White House. I mean, I can't believe that anybody can support this guy yet.
I know.
My man, let's keep our fingers crossed.
All right.
Take care.
All right, Joe. Same to you. All right, let's try Virginia again. Virginia in Alameda, California.
How are you?
Hey, Virginia.
I'm all right. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine. See, when you have me on speakerphone, it just blows all the meters here almost off the chart.
God, I'm so sorry.
No problem.
Never do that again.
People don't know that, but
okay, now I know. And so I only have one really well-working hand, unfortunately, a disability thing.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, but, you know, I found out something today about the ignorance and idiocy of my senators, who are both Democrats, that it's just, I don't know, Mike, you know, you just want to rip your hair out at some point, and you don't know what to do anymore.
I hear you.
Like, okay, they're talking about the budget. They want another $100 billion, as if it was, like, asking for, okay?
And have you been following this children's health insurance program, the CHIPS program, that is going bankrupt in 14 states?
Honey.
And they've been having this meeting, the governors, and even our fake, phony Republican governor here in Georgia is up there pleading for money to keep the CHIPS program alive. And this evil bastard Bush is telling them, look, it's your problem. There's nothing I can do about it.
I know. Well, you're telling
me. And you know who's
going to
be hurt. You know who gets hurt on that? Kids.
Oh, honey.
Little kids.
The usual suspects, the usual victims of all of this, when they had the welfare to work, when they did all these things, when they busted unions, it's kids who paid. It's kids who paid. That's who's getting insured. That's who needs their health care. That's who needs the parents to make some money and not sleep in homeless shelters and cars. People are ignoring so many homeless families and children, and the whole thing is bizarre beyond belief. But here's the take-the-cake thing. I call up and I go, okay, you say you do not want to cut the funds because you don't want to hurt the troops. out of the $100 billion that Bush is asking for, how much is for contractors and how much is for our troops?
Yeah.
Not a clue.
Yeah.
How much of the $70 billion you just gave them is for contractors and how much is for the troops? Not a clue. I go, besides the circular cert thinking that you have to keep on sending more money to support the troops so they can stay there and that's how you protect them, I cannot figure that out.
I know.
Also explain to me, you don't even know where the money is going. These kids, we are out here. We can't afford Medi-Cal share of cost. We can't afford insurance. We can't afford transportation to have a decent job. We have to work two jobs. We get disabled and we still crawl out and work and make a dollar. Or we'll look for cans and bottles. But out of $100 billion, you cannot give me even a ballpark figure on the percentage that goes to contractors. And let me tell you something, Mike. Not one more penny to any contractor anywhere in Iraq. Do you understand me? Not one. If they want to support this war, do it as a volunteer. Go join the ranks. Go on. I don't want one penny. There is nothing patriotic about funding those war profiteers. Nothing. Absolutely nada. And people have to stand up and tell themselves because they don't even know. The only one who even cared, Feinstein and Boxer did not even care, their aides, to look it up. They just didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
My congressman, Peter Stark, here in Alameda, his aide is going to look it up and send me the information because they at least got curious. But Senator Feinstein is on the Foreign Relations Committee and all this other nonsense. She has sung the praises of Mr. Negroponte. Thank you for reminding people over and over again. Never let them forget. What a war criminal. What a sadist. What a sick animal who never saw a death squad he didn't love.
That's true.
Mr. Negroponte is. Thank you so much. Do not let people forget that. This car just keeps moving. And please, can we please differentiate? Do me a favor, Mike. When we are looking at our candidates for president, would you please read more on the Democratic Leadership Council? Read on issue number 46 by the blackcommentator.com on how the Democratic Leadership Council is just destroying all the so-called special interests that make up the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And let us always, always remind people what Hillary Clinton is. She is the DLC. She is the Democratic Leadership Council.
I hear
and
you.
It's just insane. We don't need, those are the people that helped us lose elections, you know, all these years, lose the Congress each and every year. So we don't need this anymore. They're right-wingers. They are corporate, you know, sellouts, and there's just no point anymore. I don't care. You know, I'm not dissing Hillary and going for Barack because he's a whole lot cuter than she is. Honey, he refused to be part of the DLC. He said, no, 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 I am not part and will never be part of the DLC. That's why I'm going to get up and I'm going to go work for him.
I hear you.
Because I am sick to death of the DLC. I'm sick to death of all the non-opposition. We've got like 20 senators who are part of the DLC. We got 20 Democrats that are part of the DLC. And you want to keep asking the question, why are they so pathetic?
I know.
Because 20 out of our 50 are, you know, you can't say we have 51 because Lieberman isn't. And look what he has just come up. Lieberman is the king of the DLC and Hillary is the queen. So if you can look at that, how can you possibly vote for this woman? How can you possibly lift a finger, send a dime?
I hear you, Virginia. I hear
and they, you. You know, they, and my dear beloved DLC Feinstein, sitting in Foreign Relations Committee, cannot tell me if it's 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 90% of these billions of dollars are going to contractors,
you're good,
to mercenaries.
You're good, Virginia. You need to write a blog, but I got to move on.
Okay, love you, Mike. You take care of yourself.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Virginia. Thanks. You know, anybody disagree with what Virginia said? You know, I ran across something in my current issue of Mother Jones magazine. There was an article a couple of months ago about Hillary, and it generated letters to the editor. And here's one of them. This is a letter from Lisa Ogg in Waddy, Kentucky. And Lisa writes, forget what Hillary says and what other people say about her. Look at her voting record. Pro-war? Check. Pro-tax cuts? Check. Pro-torture? Check. Pro-corporations? Check. Anti-choice? Check. Anti-privacy rights? Check. Anti-gay marriage? Check. Anti-immigrants? Check. Anti-working class? Check. Anti-unions? Check. Anti-environment? Check. That's why, Lisa writes, true progressives hate her. If you get Mother Jones, it's right there on in the current issue on the letters to the editor page. I just got this email from Don. Mike, my great-grandfather and several great-uncles fought in the First World War. My grandfather and many uncles fought in World War II along with my dad. Several uncles were in the Korean War. Myself and four cousins fought in Vietnam. My son was in the First Iraq War, stayed for 20 years. Two of my cousins were wounded in Nam, along with myself. I'm a disabled vet, 20-year veteran of the U.S. Army. Now I'm 68 years old and see that all of this service was for nothing. I'm ashamed of what this country has come to. Don't see any change in what remains of my life. I have not cried for many years, but when I see what the government is doing to our returning wounded vets, I just sit with tears running down. Don. You know, I know a lot of people are tired of the question because it's almost nothing but empty rhetoric. But how much more of this is the American public going to accept? I mean, really, how much more? What the hell has to happen here? What has to happen here before Bush is removed from office and Cheney? What has to happen? God.
And if you climb a mountain and you turn around, and if you see my reflection in the snow-covered hills, from a landslide brought down. And if you see my reflection in the snow-covered hills, well, maybe.
The Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
It's about 9 before the hour.
I'm going to leave the city. Got to get away.
By the way, Virginia in Alameda, California, if you are still near your pewter, you know, I said you ought to write a blog because you are very articulate and you're pissed off. And the combination of the two, I think, can be powerful. I got an email from Nathan at powersandmorrison.com. If you want to write a blog, Virginia, they will provide the space for you. Just send an email to Nathan at powersandmorrison.com. Okay, Virginia. Powersandmorrison.com. Nathan at powersandmorrison.com. Do it, Virginia. Right on. Mike is calling from Chicago. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
Hey, you are.
You know what? Tony Snow said the stock market crashed because of the attempt on Cheney. But what he failed to tell the White House press corps was that stocks and party favors quadrupled. Anyway, does Condoleezza also, did she realize that?
You're bad.
Does she realize that Ed Gein was also a legend in Milwaukee? Does she know that?
I don't think so.
Anyways, I wanted to congratulate you. You're back on the radio in Chicago. Thank goodness for WCPT.
We're actually on?
Yeah, you're on the radio. I was getting, my back was starting to go out sitting at my computer listening to you all the time.
Well, wait a minute. What, we're on now?
Yeah, you're on 8:50 a.m. in Chicago.
I thought that was a daytime station that had to sign off at...
No, well, you know what? It's seasonal. What happens is this time of the year, it's on until 10 o'clock at night. And usually Stephanie Miller used to come on after you.
Uh-huh.
And then now what it is you usually are the last thing. And then after your show is over, that's when you go off the air.
Well, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
I should have known that. And I feel like a jerk that I didn't know it. But thanks for telling us.
Yeah, no problem. I was wondering if you by chance happened to see Chris Matthews in that Seymour Hersh interview today.
No, I didn't.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah.
He asked him pretty much what worries him the most, Musharraf's pretty much complacency with the Taliban, the war in Iraq, or the possible military action in Iran. And he just looked straight at him and he said, George Bush worries me. And honest to God, the only way to describe the look on Matthew's face is someone farting in an elevator. It was just complete, just draining, and he went right into a commercial.
Well, you know, Chris Matthews, as weird and as freaky as he is, I don't think he cares too much for Bush's toy war and all the murder that he's doing around the planet. You know, Chris Matthews is a fairly strong Catholic, and you know, fairly strong Catholics, so they have a line where, okay, enough murder! And I think Chris Matthews, no offense to Catholics, but that's just the way it goes. And I think Chris Matthews finally had that line inside him crossed, and he's starting to rebel against Bush.
Yeah. Let me also let everyone know to definitely go to draftgore.com because in a recent interview he said that he's truly disturbed with all the infringement on people's civil liberties, especially the wiretapping. So anything we could do to get his ratings up and possibly change his mind, we've got nothing to lose, right?
Well, you know, he makes the statement that a lot of politicians make when they're not saying no. He says, you know, I have no plans to run.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe if that petition, you know, 46,000 names isn't going to do it. A million and a half might.
Yeah.
So there is a hell of a way to go. And if people are really concerned and truly believe that Al Gore, and for better or for worse, I don't care. I don't want to debate this with anybody. I don't want to argue with anybody. But Al Gore is the most trained person for the presidency of any person in American politics that I can think of. He had 8 years of being a hands-on vice president. You can make some arguments against Al Gore on this or Al Gore on that. Al Gore used to be part of the Democratic Leadership Conference. He does come out of the DLC. He is a white Southern. White male Southerner, yada, 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 yada. But here are some facts. Anybody can change. And I have a feeling that Al Gore had his ass handed to him by that Supreme Court decision. And I think it woke him up to some several hard facts, one of which is that we live in a country that is about 3 inches from total fascism. And I don't think Al Gore wants to go there. And I know Tipper did that whole record thing about labeling records. Oh, what a non-issue. For Christ's sake, she wasn't trying to censor anything. She was just saying like they do in the movies. Let us know. Put a letter on it. Is it got, has it got harsh lyrics? And the butt kicking she took from the record industry, I still have a problem with that. So,
yeah, the PMRC is the slightest thing. This thing. That's
aye, yeah, Harrison. Yeah. Think about that. We all got our panties in a wad over the Parents Resource, whatever the hell it was called.
Music Center.
A music center over labeling records!
I know. And meanwhile, we're being put in jail with no phone.
We're losing calls. The Constitution, for Christ's sake. We're going to argue. Somebody's going to say, well, you don't want Al Gore because look what his wife did.
Yeah, no. I know. You don't know where you got until it's gone, right?
Yeah, really.
As Bill Maher said, you know, he goes, yeah, I am pissed off. I'm pissed off that not enough people are pissed off.
Yeah, there
you go.
And
that's pretty much my sentiment.
Well, I'll tell you, if anybody is serious about Al Gore being drafted, and if the only venue is AlGore.com, which it's not, or DraftGore.com, which is not, Gore's not stupid. If there's enough of a ground surge to let him know that he's got a shot, he'll do it. I got to leave it there. Thanks, Mike.
All right, take it easy, Mike.
Stay in touch. Stay in touch. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio Network. Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. Let's go right back to your phone calls on the Malloy program. Joy is calling from Santa Cruz, California. Hey, Joy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm confused.
Okay.
I need Mike Malloy to straighten me out.
That'll never happen, but go ahead. Let's try.
Okay. Here are the things I've been hearing in the news over the past few days. And I sent you an email about it. Did you get that?
Yes, I did.
So you know what I'm going to say. Okay. Keith Olbermann interviews Mr. Scherer, a former CIA official, who says Al-Qaeda may attack us with a nuclear bomb, and Bush is ignoring it. Then Cy Hirsch reports that our administration is funding jihadi groups who are affiliated with Al-Qaeda.
Right.
Through third parties like Prince Bandar's of the Royal Saudis. And the whole thing is so slimy that John Negroponte says, I don't want to be in there.
That's what's weird. Joy, let me ask you something. Are you talking right into your telephone?
I'm talking right into my phone, yes.
Okay,
I got a little loud. I'm sorry.
Very difficult to hear you. If there's any way to get a little more volume on your call, I guess not. Go ahead.
Okay, let me switch to a different line.
Okay.
Is this better?
That's better. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So Cy Hirsch reports that our administration is funding jihadi groups who are affiliated with Al-Qaeda.
Uh-huh.
And then John Negroponte says, I don't even want to be involved with these people, and decides to be the lackey of Condoleezza Rice.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know that.
Yeah.
And then $12 billion is missing that we can't find. And then the New Yorkers are being told that Iran is planning on attacking them from Fox Noise.
Yeah, right.
And then Dick Cheney goes to Afghanistan and Pakistan, and we'll discuss why he's there, except to ask Musharraf to keep the pressure on the very people that the administration is now funding, Al-Qaeda.
Right.
Why aren't these people being investigated and being impeached? Isn't this treason?
Well, in my mind it is, in your mind it is, in the minds of millions of Americans it is, but apparently to the people have the power to impeach, it is not. So, you know, I don't know how the leadership of the Democratic Party and responsible members of the Republican Party, if there are any left, can be motivated to remove these bastards from office, not because of politics, but in order to save the republic and keep this as a country that is still trying to understand what liberty and freedom really means. We've never gotten there, but we've been trying to understand it except for the past 6 years. So I don't know what it takes, Joy. I really don't.
I called John Conyers' office today.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we still have to go through all of these deliberations. I'm saying these people are creating chaos in the world, and they've betrayed our country. If today wasn't an example, or the last week wasn't an example, we're funding Al-Qaeda?
Yeah.
This is treason.
Well,
why am I not hearing? I've been listening. You know, I listen to you guys all the time. I listen to everybody on Air America. I love all of you.
Right.
You know that.
Yeah. Well, you know I'm not with Air America.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
But I switch. Actually, I listen to Air America on Nova Amp.
Oh, okay. That'll work.
Well, it's a better connection.
Yeah, there you go.
And I listen to Randy because I love Randy, and I know you love Randy. And
oh, absolutely. She's the goddess of talk radio.
She's Isis.
Oh, she is. She's wonderful.
She's
and you know what was really strange? When I was listening to, I think it was Virginia from Alameda, the woman who called earlier, she sounded a little bit like Randy Rhoads.
Well, maybe she was.
No.
No. Randy wouldn't call into your show, but, well, she might one day, but I love both of you. You guys are such incredible people.
Well, thanks.
Because you're actually truth tellers.
Yeah.
And so am I. I'm a truth teller.
Yes, you are.
And I'm sitting here looking, and this is the final story that just made my head go cockeyed, because I didn't understand all these stories, and then Condi asked Iran and Syria to help stabilize Iraq.
Condi, what?
What is that about?
I didn't hear that last part. Condi, what?
Condoleezza Rice asked Iran and Syria today to help stabilize Iraq.
I heard that there's a chance of a four-party or five-party talks, but I also understand that the United States will not send cabinet-level, that means Condoleezza Rice, cabinet-level representative if such talks ever were to occur, which won't. I mean the talks I don't think will occur. But if they do occur, well, the person that will be sent, and now all the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted. The person that will be sent from the United States State Department is da-da-da-da, the new Assistant Secretary of State, John Negroponte. Do you get it now? Do you get it now?
Starting to.
Okay.
Starting to.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right, I got to move on. Joy, thank you. I appreciate you checking in. Whoops. All right, well. We dropped the call rather quickly there. But anyway, Joy, thanks for checking in. Suzanne in L.A. says, Mike, since you've been on the air tonight, 400 more people have signed on to draftgore.com. It's now well over 46,000. Okay, that's good. That's a wonderful thing. But it's got to be over 460,000. I mean, come on. There's two things that I really, really wish folks who listen to this program would do. Number one, go to novamradio.com. And become a founder of a founding member of this network. I really, really, really wish that you would do that. I really do. And the second thing tonight would be to go to draftgore.com and sign the petition. I really, really wish that you would do that. Both things. And again, I'm not trying to guilt trip anybody because I don't respond to guilt at all, ever. But I remember when I was off the air and 20,000 people signed a petition online to get me back on the air. And as far as I know, so many of those 20,000 said, look, you know, I'd spend, $10-$15 a month to hear your program. You get a hell of a lot more than my program if you go to novamradio.com and sign up. It'll cost you 10 bucks a month or $100 a year. Now, for the 20,000 people that signed that petition, where is everybody? I'm serious. I'm not trying to grind on you. I know times are tough. If somebody asks me for $100 a year right now, well, I do that. I sent money to truthout.org. They're in their fundraising drive, and I sent money to them because I'm on their list, and I use their stuff. I go to truthout.org, and I get stories and articles. My senior correspondent links me to stories there. I use their stuff, and it doesn't cost me anything. And I send them $100, and I do it every time they have a fundraiser. So, there are two things that have to happen. There has to be progressive voices on the air. There has to be. And I don't know how else to get them out there. Corporate America is lifting its leg and urinating all over liberal talk radio. You know, Jones Radio Network, that wound up being nothing more than a sales company when I was at Air America, refused to even pitch my program for advertisers because they said I was too controversial. So, you know, either you do something or you don't do it. I mean, it gets down to that sometimes, Truth Seeker. So, go to draftgore.com. Maybe we don't need Al Gore. Who are we going to have in there, huh? Who do you want? You want Barack Obama? You got him. You want John Edwards? Go ahead. You want Hillary? Fine. You want somebody who is prepared for this job at a time when it's desperation time. I don't have to tell you that. Go sign the damn petition, will you, please?
I want to live in a country that's safe, in a land that's clean and free. For every color and culture, every person, every belief. Your greed, your fear, and your lies ain't gonna push me around. I'm gonna use the power I have. I'm gonna vote you right out of that house, 'cause I am a patriot.
primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
Got this email from Kim, who's with Veterans Against Torture, Veterans for Peace, Vietnam Veterans Against the War, because it's all the same effing war. Kim writes, love you, Mike. Every time I hear you play Pink Floyd, I remember those nights sitting around with friends, often with the lights off, letting the music roll over us, feeling a sense of something cosmic, something powerful, a sense that there were so many of us who thought alike, felt the same way, had the same visions and dreams. We could see a future of grand design, a future of music and joy and peace and humanity. And when I hear that music now, I wonder where all those dreams went. What happened? How did this dark light of small-mindedness, of meanness, of power madness so overwhelm our world? And more important, how do we put things like hate and war and racism and sexism and homophobia back into the stupid box where they belong and bring back music and hope and caring and all those wonderful, wonderful dreams? Kim. Well, if you or I had an answer to that, pal, I don't know. I know the frustration. I thought we fought these fights. I thought the referee rendered a decision. I thought we won. I saw, what is it? The price of liberty is eternal vigilance. No kidding. We really are faced with serious stuff here. I mean, my God, we really are. And I'll say it again. I've been saying it. There are four boxes for use in the defense of liberty: soap, ballot, jury, ammo. Use in that order.
He tried to kill me. He was 3 miles away from me. He tried to kill me.
You know, more I think about this phony ass assassination attempt. Who said it was assassination? Tony Snow didn't know what the hell happened. Who said it was? Our media say it was an assassination attempt. I 3 miles. When I heard that today, I thought Cheney was, you know, and then they moved him to a secure area. Jesus Christ, 3 miles away from something. Do you know what 3 miles is? Fake, phony, lying crap.
Oh God, our dear vice president was over there in the war zone where the dirty, rotten communist Al-Qaeda Iraqi terrorists are all abiding and plotting to come over and blow up New York. Oh, and they tried to get him. Oh, I better go back to voting Republican. Oh, and pray to Jesus. Oh, I am so scared. Oh, how did Bill Clinton do this to us? Oh my goodness. Oh, please help me, Jesus.
Is that the reaction that they were looking for today? Yes. Absolutely. Assassination attempt, Will is calling from Michigan. Hey, Will. Hey, sorry I screwed up the other night about Rolling Thunder.
Hey, no problem.
Will is a member of the Patriot Guard, which is the group that motorcycles to stand in honor of these fallen vets, fallen soldiers, and to keep these psychopaths away from the funeral site. Sorry, I made the goof up. Thanks for the immediate email to correct to correct it.
That's no problem. I wanted to talk to you about that email you read earlier from the. Retiring soldier.
Yeah.
I can understand where he's coming from. I mean, when people find out I'm a veteran and they thank me for my service, sometimes I just want to scream, what do you want to thank me for? You know, because I served in a war where obvious war crimes were committed.
Uh-huh.
And you know, to me, that doing that didn't go didn't mean anything. What's the word I'm looking for?
It didn't impact what you were doing.
Well, it didn't. I didn't feel I was fulfilling my oath.
Right, I got
by,
you.
By carrying out the orders that I was given.
Right.
And I completely understand where that guy's coming from.
Yeah. Hey, hold on a second, Will. I got to do a break here. All right.
Okay.
Stay right there. We'll come back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Stay with us. Your phone calls when we come back.
Nighty night, truth seekers. Time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer, more Mike Malloy.
Can you polka to that? Probably. We're talking with Will in Michigan. All right, where were we, Will?
Actually, I want to change the subject.
Go ahead.
While I was on hold waiting to go on the air, I was informed by email that Lansing has lost a peace activist, Robert Busby, owner of the Creole Gallery, was found dead in the basement of the gallery today, and his pickup truck is missing. So there's possibly some foul play involved.
I would think. Do you think it's a case of burglary, theft, murder, robbery, or was this person active enough to warrant the attention of somebody in Negro Ponte's employ?
I really have no idea.
All right, well, keep it. But, let us know how that turns out, will you?
I sure will. They were planning to hold an anti-war poetry reading at the Creole Gallery on March 15th. And if you don't mind, I'd like to recite my favorite anti-war poem in memory of Robert.
Go ahead.
It's called The Box. It was written during World War I. Once upon a time in the land of Hushabye, around about the wondrous days of yore, they came across a sort of box bound up with chains and locked with locks and labeled, "Kindly do not touch. It's war." A decree was issued round about, all with a flourish and a shout, and a gaily colored mascot tripping lightly on before. "Don't fiddle with this deadly box or break the chains or pick the locks. And please, don't ever play about with war." Well, the children understood. The children happened to be good, and they were just as good around the time of yore. They didn't try to pick the locks or break into that deadly box. They never tried to play about with war. Mommies didn't either. Sisters, aunts, grannies neither. They were quiet, sweet, pretty in those wondrous days of yore. Well, very much the same as now, and not the ones to blame somehow for opening up that deadly box of war. But someone did. Someone battered in the lid and spilled the insides out across the floor. A sort of bouncy, bumpy ball made up of guns and flags and all the tears and horror and the death that goes with war. They bounced right out and went bashing all about and bumping into everything in store. And what was sad and most unfair is that it didn't really seem to care much who it bumped, or why, or what, or for. They bumped the children mainly, and I'll tell you this quite plainly, it bumps them every day and more and more. It leaves them dead and burned and dying, thousands of them sick and crying. Because when it bumps, it's really very sore. There's a way to stop the ball. It isn't difficult at all. All it takes is wisdom. And I'm absolutely sure that we could get it back into the box and bind the chains and lock the locks. But no one seems to want to save the children anymore. Well, that's the way it all appears, because it's been bouncing around for years and years in spite of all the wisdom whiz since those wonder stays of yore and the time they came across the box, bound up with chains and locked with locks and labeled, kindly do not touch.
Yikes.
It's war.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think I've heard that before. Who do you know the author?
Lascelles Abercrombie wrote it during World War One.
What's the title again?
The Box.
The Box by Abercrombie?
Lascelles Abercrombie, yeah.
I got to find that and print it off and send it through snail mail to everybody I know.
It was recorded by John Denver on his Poems, Prayers, and Promises album back in 75, I believe.
Maybe that's where I heard it. Maybe that's where I heard it, because that is familiar. That's just scary. I mean, I sit here and listen to you read it, and you can't hear that without getting.
I didn't read it. I've got it memorized.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's chilling. All right. Thanks, Will. Let me know about your guy in Lansing. I'm sorry to hear it.
Yeah, me too.
All right, sir. Take care. The box. Regarding Al Gore and his run for the presidency, Peggy writes in, Mike, personally, I think we need Wesley Clark. Before you say why a general, go to his 04 campaign site, www.clark04.com, and look at his stand on the issues. He is a liberal, Peggy. Yeah, I all things being equal, if we weren't dealing with a couple of issues that I think Wesley Clark would make a good candidate too. I really do. I think he'd make a good president. But I don't think Wes Clark has the experience right now in governance as Al Gore, and certainly not the experience or the knowledge and understanding of global warming. On the other hand, my North Metro Atlanta correspondent, Sharon, is a huge Wes Clark supporter, and she sent me and sends me plenty of information about Wes Clark. So I understand what you're saying, Peggy. I really do. I said the other night that the overarching issue to everything is this global heating issue. The fact that global climate change is occurring, and if you notice the tenor and content of some of the more recent articles, it's starting to manifest much more quickly than the very conservative estimates that were bandied about just as short as 3-4 years ago. These temperature rises are starting to occur more with more intensity. And when you're talking about global climate change and mean global temperature rising half a degree centigrade or Celsius, you're talking about profound change to the environment. What is this article that was in the New York Times this morning, and a couple of you sent it to me, about the disappearing honeybees? When Kathy and I lived in Chicago, she loves to have a garden, and she started a box garden on the back porch of a three-story walk-up that we lived in, and planted a bunch of plants that needed pollination. And there were no bees. Now, I'm talking 7-8 years ago. There were no bees to pollinate it. A lot of people say, well, what the hell? It was in Chicago. We found out from our neighbors that this was an unusual situation, because a lot of people in Chicago who live in apartments or condos or whatever, live in the city, will have, backyard tomato plants. Not backyard, but, backyard or on the deck of their condo. We had a deck that was about 6 feet by 5 feet. It was tiny. But we had boxes out there, and nothing was fertilized. Nothing was pollinated, I should say. Well, in the New York Times this morning, there's an article, Honeybees Vanish, Leaving Beekeepers in Peril. And what they're finding is that in 24 states throughout the United States, beekeepers are finding that bees have been disappearing inexplicably at an alarming rate, threatening not only the beekeepers' livelihoods, but also the production of all sorts of crops that need these little creatures for pollination. And what they're finding, bees are flying off in search of pollen and nectar and simply never return to their colonies. And nobody knows why. They've come up with a term for this. Beekeepers, researchers, are calling it colony collapse disorder, which means they don't know what the hell is going on. And that's one of the reasons. I mean, do you remember about 5 or 6 years ago, 7 years ago, it started to hit the newspapers about deformed frogs turning up in little ponds and streams and creeks all around the United States and other parts of the planet. Frogs that had deformed or dual genitalia, or frogs that had, you know, six legs or eyes in the middle of their little foreheads or what have you. And, oh, ha, ha, har, har, I'm sure the pig man, this disgusting, filthy Rush Limbaugh, found a lot to laugh about and joke about that. But everybody's going, God, what's this about? Oh, maybe it's acid rain. Well, maybe it's this. Well, maybe it's that. Maybe it's some kind of mite or some kind of virus or some kind of bacteria that only attacks frogs. And I don't know that they ever decided what it was. But now here we go, species after species that is very dependent on delicate balance in the environment, whether it's frogs or honeybees or certain species of birds or bugs or beetles or whatever, creatures that you and I don't pay any attention to that are absolutely necessary, a part of this chain of life, are starting to die off and disappear. What's causing it? A half a degree change in global temperature? Oh, man. So, yeah, Wes Clark, absolutely, absolutely. I have great respect for Wesley Clark. I do. I realize he was the Supreme Allied Commander of NATO during the Clinton years, during the attack on Serbia. He can be forgiven for that. But I just don't see anybody right now that has the experience other than Al Gore. I'm certainly open to change.
Does it sound like bees?
Thanks to Ian Huff, who engineered the program from Phoenix, also answered your calls. Kristen Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall's our webmaster. The moderators at MikeMalloy.com on the message board. Want to hear music like that? I want to talk real fast. It makes me sound about like bees. 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 Go to NovemRadio.com, if you would, please, and sign up for downloads, a podcast, and a chance to win 10 grand. They're very serious about that, but we need to have 5,000 members. If you don't want to do it that way, you can send a check to KPHX or Nova M Radio, your choice, 824 Washington, Phoenix, 85034. And don't forget to go to draftgore.com and sign the position. You know, if you feel like it. If you don't, to hell with it. You know, it. Suzanne in L.A. says that while we were on the air tonight, 655 more people signed on. It's approaching 47,000 signatures now, but, you know, it's got to be a lot more than that. You know that as well as I do. For those of you who are interested, Kurt in Minneapolis sent this to me, VH1 Classic. If you get that on your cable or satellite system, and I think we do, VH1 Classic tonight at 1 a.m. Eastern Time has the making of Dark Side of the Moon. Kurt says, I caught the second half of it on the earlier broadcast, and it was pretty good. Dark Side of the Moon, my God, what is that, 73, 74? That, well, you listen to Dark Side of the Moon, as far as I'm concerned, it still holds up. It's incredible. 33 years ago, I cannot believe that music was recorded 33 years ago. Good God. Back to your phone calls. Matthew in Bedford, Texas. Matthew, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Matthew.
How's it going?
It's going.
I think I need a new pair of teeth.
A new pair of teeth?
Yeah. After all this day, it's just been making crunching sounds with my mouth all day.
Oh, I see. Grinding and stuff.
Yeah. Hey, it's fun, and it relieves stress, but gives you root canals.
Yeah, it will. It will do that, yeah.
Well, first of all, happy belated anniversary.
Well, thank you, Matthew. I appreciate that.
Sure. And, you know, apart from all, did you get my email about the Harris and Cheney and all that stuff, or?
I probably did. I don't know that I've opened it yet, but...
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. It was just my morning rant on how can these people not manage to kill thousands of people in America, but they can't kill one man in their own country that they didn't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I got that. I read it on the air. Where were you?
Oh, I tuned in about, what, 8:45 or something?
Well, so. there you go then, all right?
Okay, I'm going to be hitting my head on the brick wall for the next 20 minutes in embarrassment.
Well, I certainly hope so.
Anyway, what I called about, this is one thing that I've been putting my amazing problem-solving skills to, is non-lethal quick fixes and probably non-real-world ways to fix the Republican problem. And I think that by my two-day or three-day basis, I'll just call up and give another idea. Probably be silly, but fun to say.
But why would you want to fix it? Let the bastards die.
But maybe some of it will result in their death, or at least enough pain that they'll just stop doing what they're doing.
Okay,
whatever.
Well, let's hear it, Matthew. If you can put it in about 30 seconds.
Okay. Simulation rooms where we can all just stick them, and they can run their own little world, and they don't even have to know that they're in a simulation room. They can be just ruling over the little simulation people in the simulation world all by themselves. They can make war with other simulation countries, and in the real, we can probably just dunk them in the bottom of the ocean and leave them there. And while we go on with our regular lives, you know,
Matthew.
All that stuff. I know. It's ridiculous.
Matthew, what have you been smoking tonight?
Star Trek.
You've been smoking Star Trek?
I think so.
Well, all right.
I know.
All right. Well, Matthew.
I'll come up with better ideas, I promise.
All right. Thanks, Matthew.
Take care, man.
All right. I appreciate you checking in. I really do. I love hearing from Matthew. Zyklon B, that will fix the Republicans. Oh, my God. You people are brutal. You're brutal. Jim is calling from Alabama. Hey, Jim.
Yeah, Mike?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hey, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine.
I called, I live in Alabama, Mobile.
Right.
And I called Richard Shelby's office when I found out about this, how they reversed that posse comitatus.
Yeah.
And the girl, when you answered the phone, I asked her about it. She didn't know anything about it. So then she put me on hold. Then some guy came on the phone, and he asked me about it. And he didn't know anything about it. And I said, well, It was attached to the defense appropriation bill that Richard Selby signed. So
right.
That means that he doesn't read everything he signs.
Right.
I said, this is very important because that means now that if you don't do your job, that they can...
That what? Where'd he go? Jim! Oh, my God, what was that? All right, well, we lost Jim. Jim, I hope that was just a glitch in your cell phone and not, you know, a wave of death. God, that was weird. All right, Jim, we'll talk again. I don't know what happened. You probably hit a dead zone. No, I don't mean dead zone. I mean a bad cell or something. I'll see you tomorrow night, True Seekers. Thanks for participating tonight, however you did that. Go to DraftGore.com and NovaMRadio.com, all right? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.